praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 14, verses 1 to 14. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Maybe some of you remember this. I'm a little young. But in 1972, just kidding, the late singer-songwriter Jim Croce had his first number one hit single. It was called "You Don't Mess Around with Jim." Part of the lyrics went like this. "You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off that old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim." I'm looking at Jim Caro when I say that. Advice. That's what that is. Advice. And if you've ever actually spit into a strong wind, you might say that Jim Croce's song offers good advice. So how about today's gospel lesson? Does our gospel lesson today offer good advice? How about this? When you're invited to a wedding feast, sit in the least honorable place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. Is that good advice or not? Well, let's take a look at what was going on in Luke 14. Jesus and his followers were making their way from Galilee to Jerusalem. No one but Jesus knew this. But once in Jerusalem, Jesus would be crucified, and it would be orchestrated by the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the elite class of ancient Israel, leaders religiously, politically, and socially. And they were pious, meaning they prided themselves on keeping God's law. They were self-righteous, and they absolutely hated Jesus. They hated Jesus because he rejected the accepted order of things. For example, Jesus forgave those who deserved punishment. Jesus expressed mercy and acceptance toward those who the rest of society deemed immoral. He also befriended and healed the sick and the insane and the desperate. The common people of Israel loved Jesus, and they believed he was the long-awaited Messiah who had been foretold by the prophets. But the Pharisees, the elites, were not buying that idea at all. Jesus was not their idea of the Messiah to come. The Pharisees wanted a great political and military leader as the Messiah, and they wanted Jesus dead. So Jesus and his entourage approached Jerusalem, and it's almost impossible to exaggerate how hostile and tense the relationship was between Jesus on one hand and the Pharisees on the other. In fact, in Luke 13, there's an incident where Jesus was speaking on the Sabbath day in the synagogue of a small town when a woman appeared who for 18 years had been bent over double and could not straighten herself. So Jesus healed her. And immediately the Pharisee in charge of the synagogue expressed rage. Why? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day when no work was allowed. Read about it in Luke 13. And here at the beginning of Luke 14, Jesus did it again. Jesus healed a man afflicted with a disease called dropsy, whose primary symptom is swelling of the joints. And Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were aghast. They couldn't believe how Jesus would so brazenly break the law of the Sabbath. And as they sat there in stunned silence, Jesus turned to them and asked, "Which of you who has a son who's fallen into a well would rescue him on the Sabbath day?" Why would the Pharisees oppose mercy and healing, especially on the Sabbath? It was their piety. It was their holier-than-thou attitudes. It was their sense of self-righteousness as religious people. You see, the Pharisees thought of themselves as good Jews, just like we like to think of ourselves as good Christians or good people, which we are, aren't we? Well, actually, it's to us who like to think of ourselves as good Christians that Jesus is telling the parable of the wedding feast. And this is the point that Jesus is making. It's our own piety, our own sense of self-righteousness, our faith in our own goodness, that makes us insensitive to the needs of others. Here's an example. I work hard. Why should I give to him? He needs to get his act together, like me. Just as bad, my piety, my conviction that I'm a good Christian or a good person can also make me oblivious to my own need for God's mercy and forgiveness. In the parable, the wedding guests actually believe that they'd earned the seat of honor, that they deserve to be recognized for their goodness. But Jesus tells them to take a seat in the least honorable place. You know, that's not advice. It's an invitation to quit pretending that you're holier than thou. It's an invitation to relax and get some real relief and rest in your life. It's an invitation to be completely honest without fear. It's an invitation to throw yourself on the mercy of God, who loves you. You know, I've mentioned my former seminary professor, Chad Bird, before. He was a young, brilliant, rising star on the faculty. I don't know exactly what happened, but he lost his job and he lost his marriage. And now he drives a truck in Texas and he blogs. I read something from him recently that caught my attention. He described a scene outside of a convenience store where he'd parked his semi somewhere near San Antonio. And this is what he wrote. A young man was lying on the sidewalk with a cardboard sign on his chest. Three words were written on it in big red letters. No exclamation point, no underlining, a simple request. The sign said, "Just kill me." His jeans were soiled from weeks of unwashed wear on the streets. His backpack pillowed beneath his head. His eyes were closed. He clutched the sign to his chest, the words facing upward, a petition of despair. Well, after ignoring him while he drank a cup of coffee in the cab of his truck, my old prof responded to a sense of guilt or pity or something. Anyway, he walked back over to where the young man was lying down on the ground and tried to engage him in conversation. He didn't have much luck. Finally, he asked the young man if he could pray for him. And for the first time, got a positive response. Yes. And so, my former professor writes, I got up, moved beside him, and knelt in the dirt. I prayed for our Father to have mercy upon him, to give him hope, to show him the light of grace in whatever darkness he was passing through. And then I lifted my hand and pronounced over him the blessing that ages ago Yahweh had given his people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Here's what you and I have in common with that young man lying on the sidewalk with a despondent message on his chest. Like him, each of us is completely dependent on the mercy of God. And here's how most of us are different from that young man. We expend a lot of energy trying to convince people we're not dependent. We're not fearful of the future. We don't harbor secret sadness or struggle with sin. In fact, we're very careful to project the impression that we have things figured out and under control. Forget about it. In today's parable of the wedding party, Jesus invites us to be completely honest before God, to be who we really are, to no longer pretend that we're someone we're not, because God accepts us as we are, today and always. That means we no longer have to be afraid of the sin that entangles us, because God forgives us and frees us. He will not condemn us. We're wrapped in the righteous robes of Christ. And we no longer need to be afraid of the failures and doubts and discouragement and sadness that we face daily. Because in His mercy, God somehow, some way, eventually works everything together for our good. You're invited to quit striving and take the seat of least honor. And then relax, knowing that God loves you and will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this kind of strange little parable of the wedding party. And we ask that its truth sink down within us, that we are free to be who we are. We don't have to fake it or pretend before You, knowing that You love us and will accept us always. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.